All right. Good morning, everybody. It's 8 o'clock. It is Tuesday, September 27. Welcome to the Leon County Research and Development Authority Executive Committee special meeting. I will call this to order. We have no guests.
Correct.
Nobody participating digitally. Any modifications to the agenda?
Just one addition. I would like to discuss the lease inducement proposal that we've been tasked to look at before we get, if you want to do that down about number 11, we can do it better.
All right. We will add that under please. All right. Any other modifications?
No.
Was there any public comment?
No.
The update on item number 6, interim executive director position update. All eyes on me?
Yeah.
Okay, so I've had some additional conversations with Michael. I wanted to share with this group what he had sent me. And then I'd also like to give you some ideas on how I'd like to respond. Read that one. So his the time frame that he described in his email initially was longer than what we had been talking about and longer than I was thinking. Spent a little bit of time with this and I don't know that he's terribly off base. And so what he's suggesting is that this would break down, there would be a ramp up period starting November 1st. And the November 1st, I believe, is, as he's described, he's got to shed a few responsibilities. And so starting in November and December, he'd spend part-time, 12 hours a week, $4,250 per month as a 1099 contract personnel. Then beginning January 1, he had marked from January 1, 2023 for 18 months through June 30th of 2024, full-time, a W-2 employee. He says 35 to 45 hours a week at $14,000 a month, which is $168,000 a year. And then after June 30th of 2024, any extension would be by a mutual agreement. So as I started thinking about that, the time frame and what we need may or may not be spot on. So here's how I propose that we take a look at this. And by the way, just a sidebar, I have not yet sent a letter to the presidents, as we've talked about. We'll catch up on that in a second. And I have not yet contacted OPUS because we really need to understand where we're heading with Michael before we reapproach OPUS. So I've broken this in. Michael had this broken down into two periods. I've distributed it in three periods, the same ramp up from November 1 through 12/31, really no changes from what he described. Period 2, I'd marked that as the 12 months of 2023. And then when we'll come back and step through that, I put a period 3 of January 1 of 2024 through June 30th of 2024. And if we do that, it would be based on progress that's made through calendar year 2023. And so the full-time role of 2023, essentially 35 to 45 hours a week. I believe we could do the W-2 employment. I don't know why we wouldn't.
That would be probably necessary to do it that way.
Okay.
The IRS would have a problem.
Which we did hybrid.
Yeah.
That's where we got stuck before.
Okay.
It would probably work okay on this, the ramp up period being 1099. The good news is you get the 1099 and the W-2 in different periods. And that's the red flag, is when you get two of them in the same period.
Yeah. And my sense is, and I didn't talk to him specifically about that, but my sense is he was aware of that as he was putting his, what you saw together. His suggestion was it starts 1099 and moves to W-2 at the beginning of the year. I reduced it down to 160. My thought process was that's what we've been talking about, what we're hoping that we're able to bring the permanent position in at. Outside ventures, we know he's involved in several different things. So that works so long as we understand that there are no substantive conflicts. And then I think we need to understand what type of documentation do we need in order to validate that. The as a W-2 employee, you get the 2 weeks of vacation. The how do we do health benefits here?
We pay, I believe it's 85% of the premium for the employee. And I think the employee pays 100%, I believe, of any dependent.
Okay.
And it's through
United.
It's through CHP and Florida Blue are the options through the county's plan.
Okay.
And as far as retirement contributions, those are required. That's not optional with the FRS.
Okay.
So we would have the employee pays 3%, and then we pay the rest, which is about another 10 or 11%.
Okay.
But they don't get all of that. They only get it has gone up. I believe the state our portion of the match, I think, is now 6.6% plus his 3%, so he's getting almost 10% going into
FRS.
Okay, so
that dollar percentage wise, what's that add as additional compensation percentage wise?
If you do it the way we have it budgeted, I have 160 budgeted. We have all the benefits budgeted. It would be about $17,000 a month with all the benefits, assuming employee only health insurance. The cell phone allowance, which is $45 a month. Life insurance, which again is part of our standard package. I would recommend you just do the standard vacation or the standard employee benefit package if he's going to be full time.
I think we have to.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, even health insurance, you know, there's no, it's basically that. I think the annual leave is accrued at 8 hours a month. The sick leave is accrued at 8 hours a month.
Okay.
Probably the easiest way. I just give him a copy of the policy and say, here are the benefits.
Okay, so based on that, the refinement being it's a base of 160 and the normal benefit package. Is that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so that we can talk through that if everybody's okay with that. If we think that's in line, let's talk through the time frames here. What I was thinking about is that he's going to spend 2 months at the end of the year through holiday season, really just putting his arms around what is this thing, LCRDA. At the beginning of the year, January, February timeframe, we can sit down with him and have an initial deep dive conversation, board, staff, everybody, with his initial thoughts on where our structure is, what he thinks we ought to be looking at, some of the opportunities that might be out there. We spend a few months then of runtime as he's pursuing all of this, and then we get back together sometime in the April, May timeframe to either establish, review, or affirm the goals and the strategy that we've described. There's a progress review number two then towards the end of the year, October, November timeframe, where we're measuring how we're progressing against whatever we set out earlier in the year. And then from that, we're either going to figure out, does this need to continue? Are we getting towards the end? What does this look like? And then we'll figure out if into 2024 there needs to be a clean break, a tapering off, or a full-on extension. So when he put down the 2024, June of 2024, I initially kind of sucked the air out of the room. And then when I broke it down, I'm thinking, just based on how the public meeting process works and time that burns off the clock, and what it's going to take for us to bring this board along, you know, 2023 is going to get entirely consumed in this. And I think we do want to protect our 2024 opportunities. So open that up for discussion.
And I think you've laid out a tremendous plan. I don't think we can do that assignment complete payout.
Okay.
Because that's an incentive and we can't do incentives.
Well, one time,
bonus. Yeah. Yeah,
which
is good, but
okay.
Can we back up for one second, though?
Sure.
Can we talk about what the goals and objectives are during this period of time? What exactly is he going to be doing? Because I know there was some trepidation on his part about some of the things that we talked about having him do. What's his focus?
Well, it's not to keep the wheels on the bus. That clearly has to go to the business manager. And I don't think we want Michael to spend his time doing what a business manager should be doing. If as we lay this out and we're able to free up Bill to be fully focused on bringing North Florida Innovation Labs, the building out of the ground, the program increasing, and all the funding mechanisms that go with that, Bill, your world remains highly focused on North Florida Innovation Labs. We're then training this business manager to do many of the accounting and operational elements that we don't want to, if what we're doing is bringing in somebody to help us understand strategy and structure, we don't want to burden them unnecessarily with keeping the wheels on the bus.
Is he going to be responsible for managing the organization, managing the people, directing the people, assisting,
the CEO,
supporting?
Yes, I think he is.
Because I don't think you can completely separate, especially with a new business manager, I don't think you can completely separate this role from those duties.
I agree with that. But neither do we want this person who is a $160,000 a year employee taking his eyes off of what is the mission critical, which is we've got to right the direction of the ship. I mean, we've got to do that. We based on Dave, what you've been working on related to our financial situation, we have 24 months to get it right. If in that period of time we haven't gotten it right, we have a much more substantial challenge. Mm-hmm. And so we're in 3-point territory. There's 5 seconds on the clock. And we're going to take a clean shot. This is the clean shot.
And you think the structure change is going to solve the financial problem?
Long term, it has to. Short term, we need to make sure that North Florida Innovation Labs is being set up to be
operational.
A solid operational platform. We need to make sure that we're pursuing every opportunity to lease up that additional 30,000 square feet.
Is he helping with that?
I think he'll
North Innovation Labs helping get all that set up.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what the board gives him direction to do, yes. Bill?
Yeah, to me, the compensation is clear. What he's doing is very unclear. And again, I'd like to, not to beat a dead horse, two things we've got to do. And those things we need to do in the next 180 days. We need to fund that. And that's not something I can do myself. We need to staff that. And we need to lease the 30,000 square feet, which we are beginning to do. My concern is this sucks all the oxygen out of the organization in terms of diversifying investment into government relations, into grant reporting, which some of which the new business manager will be involved in.
Government relations being lobbying.
Lobbying.
To get
money. Yeah. We, without funding during construction, some of that will require major surgery. Without furniture, fixtures, and equipment, we won't be able to welcome any members into the lab. That's priority number one, in my opinion. So if the scope does not include funding for the lab, I would say that piece is conspicuously missing for the reasons I just suggested. If it doesn't include, in the short term, putting a huge emphasis on leasing up the space that we have, I would say that's conspicuously missing. What's not urgent is the restructuring. We need to move it in the right direction, but it's not immediate now in the way that this is, in the way that leasing the current space is.
So I disagree. If we're not able to describe the structure and the forward opportunity, we will not hire the right person to be the permanent executive director. So we've got to set that course. I think all the operational items that you've described are spot on, and they don't need to be conspicuously missing. It needs to be part of the scope that the interim is working directly with you to accomplish. But if we kick the can down the road on structure, it's a full mess.
And can I say something?
Please.
I've worked with Kramer before. He will figure out all three of those things and move forward with them. He's really, really bright. He's a really quick study. The business manager side of it, if he's got somebody that can, you know, do the spreadsheets, I mean, he can do them himself, but he'll direct them and oversee them, and that'll be quick for him, easy for him. I think the other two things he can focus on, and I agree with Kevin. I agree with both y'all. And one may have a little bit more precedence in the short term and the other one over the longer haul. But we've got to get NFIL solved. He will figure out which direction we need to go with that and also the other. I mean, I'm very confident in the guy. I've seen him turn around two or three struggling businesses, and I've been involved in a couple with him, and he's the right guy for a very challenging role.
I'm hearing what Bill said, and I'm completely supportive of it. I'm hearing all these different comments. I just think that we have to wrap up the concerns he has in whatever we set as the objectives for Michael to proceed with. So long as he understands part of the process we're hiring him for is to make sure this lab is open and running on time.
Right. I mean, I think that's paramount.
Yeah.
I guess I view it as in collaboration with Bill, not removing any responsibilities that Bill has, but working in partnership with to ensure that the objective is met. And of course, we know that it's NFIL lab, but not solely saying, hey, I can fix all these problems for everybody. And that's the part that I'm not clear on. I understand your role and what you were on board for. I know you can't do it alone. I know it takes the leadership in order to support that being carried out. That's how I'm envisioning the role Michael will play.
So, and what I would request, Ron and Bill, is on the heels of today's conversation, if you can, in summary fashion, looking at your role, Bill, looking at the job requirements of the business manager, and looking at the operational requirements, the CEO requirements of the interim executive director, put down what you think that is, and we'll make sure that that's part of the, as we step into this, this is how we see those three positions interfacing.
Like a roles matrix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
Interim director, NFL labs, get it going, oversee the train running, and then long-term strategy.
Yeah.
I am guessing that we'll include the staff requirements for the new lab and what those impacts are, because those are within this budget year that we're anticipating, and certainly through 2023.
And I think every bit of that, when I talk about strategy and structure, everything that you're talking about clearly in my mind falls under the strategy. I mean, including
Northport Innovation Labs.
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, we have a strategy, and I would welcome Michael's input into that. We've had a pro forma for a long time. We've had to clearly articulate exactly what we're planning and when through the grant submissions to the EDA, including, should we be funded, the match requirements for each of those pieces and parts. I like Michael. I'd love an opportunity to work with him. My concern is basic economics. Will we have the resources to invest in exactly what we need when we need it to get the lab open? And so that's, again, I think he'll be phenomenal. And my concern is that we won't have the staff to support what needs to be
done. In particular, the lobbyists. I mean, that's
and the programmatic staff, because all of our impacts are related to what's being done, not getting the building open.
Well, I mean, we could put in his thing that if you think the lobbyist is important, or y'all think that, you know, he's got
that's $5,000 a month, at least.
We can't. I mean, I wish somehow. I mean, I'd love to do it for me. I wish I had a genie and I could get a bunch of dollars. We don't have a bunch of dollars, but we got a lot of commitments.
That's right.
And we somebody's got to figure all this out. And, you know, I know one gets the other, maybe. But this is a complicated issue, and we got to get. And hiring a bunch of people, I don't know if it solves the problem or not, but we're on the path that we got to hire some people. I mean, that's not a.
We have 2 years of reserves that we're going to burn.
Fast.
And that's the, in my opinion,
we have a little more than 2 years.
Well, not if we're going to
There's still $1 million balance after 2 years.
That is assuming, though, that we've borrowed a lot of money.
That we what?
That we have borrowed a lot of money.
Yes, that assumes the full $4 million gets borrowed.
Yeah.
So when we think about strategy and structure and we think about our financial situation, we have to, there's nothing that I would like more than for us to get the right business manager and have Michael in here in an interim role and then move forward with the permanent executive director search and find that person fairly quickly and let that person get on board and start doing the things that, and hopefully that's a national level talent person who has a lot of experience in that lane so that they're able to start reaching at a level that is going to ultimately drive revenue inside of Innovation Park. And we're able to then fully focus Michael back on no longer on the strategy side of it, but then purely on the structural side of it. We've got to get to the, I mean, now is the time that all of these things need to be set up. And we need to do this before our reserves have been diminished to a point where we're shackled and don't have the ability to do it.
So is the new executive director incremental to Michael at that point?
I think at that point, when we hire the permanent executive director, then Michael's role becomes titled something different than interim. And we figure that out, but I think he will appreciate, because this has always been described with him as a temporary assignment. I mean, that we need a means to an end. He needs to help us figure out how we're going to get to that end. And part of that is going to be bringing on a permanent executive director.
So what period of time are you thinking there's going to be overlap?
When as soon as we find the right person.
So you'd be paying two people.
There will be a point that we're paying two people. Go back to the reserve.
But it may be a year out. It may be, I mean,
it might be 6 months out. It might be a year out.
So when does the search start again? Assuming that Opus will pause.
We'll talk to Opus about that.
That's a chunk of change for the overlap period.
Again, I wish we had it.
Yeah, we are where we are.
We are where we are. We all have full-time jobs. We can't run this thing. We got to get somebody in here to run it. And I mean, I don't know. We're in a bad situation, and we got to make the best of it. And
yeah, and I agree with you, Tom. I just want to make sure that we're not making matters worse down the road.
And they could get worse before they get better.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put on record that we're burning money like a child burning his allowance as fast as he can. $86,500 for a new business manager, $10,400 for Bill's increase, which is solely necessary and responsible and good.
Dave, I got that if you want to see it.
$160,000 for the new for Michael's part, less whatever Ron's. Ron, I don't remember your salary. 150.
Yeah, here's the impact of what we've discussed so far. I can get this. Here you go. So this was the operating budget that we've approved. It was a loss of 4029, and I've made the adjustments. Interest as a plug for something, but. Operating expense reimbursement went down because the elevator RFP went down. So the part that FSU is going to pay for that goes down. That's the additional compensation for my part-time role. I guess that we wouldn't be able to get the interim ED started until November 1st. And so that's a half a month. That's Bill's compensation increase, including taxes and fringe and benefits and all that. I plug in a month stipend, what I call the stipend for serving as interim ED. And then the business manager, which we're going to talk about, is coming in higher than we had anticipated.
You know, it'd be, while you're on that, it would be nice to have that conversation next to me so that we know what, I mean, I don't know what we got for a business manager and we're sitting here trying to solve.
Yeah, and that is next on the agenda, and it this all runs together.
Okay.
So, but if, assuming that we got the person, the candidate that we are interested in at the price we think we have to pay for her, that would be the change in the budget from where we are now. So salaries and taxes and benefits all goes up about $32,000. The elevator RFP came in between, that's the maintenance contract difference is higher, but the cost of the elevators is lower. So that's the net effect of that. And property and casualty insurance that came in lower than we had estimated in the original budget. So that's a net change of about 35,000. So now we're revised budget puts us at 438. CapEx goes down to 251. So that's the total from 663.9 to 689.5.
Are you incorporating these changes into the budget that will be presented next Thursday?
That's what this is.
Okay, so the budget itself won't show these revisions, it'll just show a new budget with these numbers.
With the correct, with the numbers in it. That's all in here. This is the same budget format. So I went ahead and rolled that forward on this little two-year forecast that we did. Again, I haven't updated for, you know, actual for those since July 31st, but so that puts us at the end of the 2 years. I made some of the one-time adjustments for stuff that's in this upcoming year that's not going to be in the following year. That's what that is. So basically that gets us at about $1 million after, you know, by January 1 of 2025.
And that, does that include FF&E for the?
No.
So it's not $1 million. I mean, it's.
No, and that's, but we've always said, no, we got to go get that money.
Worst case, it could be worse than that. Because we got
the best case is it ain't going to be any better, but
that's it for sure.
And that doesn't include a potential overlap of salaries, another 75,000 to 80,000 for half the year. Continuing, assuming Michael and the new executive director.
Right. No, obviously not. This just assumes one executive director starting November 1st, full time. Now, I haven't adjusted for this, obviously, but. So that would come down, you know, couple of months, call it 10,000 a month.
Difference. Send that to me today.
Yeah.
So long and short of it is we're burning money fast. Mm-hmm. We're borrowing money. We're lowering our reserves. And this doesn't even include what bills are going to be.
And we haven't done it yet. That's the key, is we got to get somebody in here to make sure we don't do this. That's the point.
I think we need to see from Bill's perspective what he thinks next year's budget will be for the lab for 2023, 24, whatever. I don't know how many employees you're talking about. I don't know any of those expenditures and what we should expect that to impact our budget.
And we get Milburn, we get CO and WIN on our building.
I'm sorry?
January 1, 2024.
Yeah. They're depending on the weather
ready a
few weeks
earlier. January 1, 2024.
And the pretty soon we're gonna need to know what that expectation is.
Yeah, and again, we can reshare the pro forma. So we will need a lab manager in advance of that. Assuming we get FF&E, we'll need somebody to install the equipment.
And we also have, again, the EDA grant that we're crossing our fingers on. That's $750,000 over 3 years. That's the intent is to use that money to pay for staff.
And we expect to hear from that when?
Any day.
Yeah, it's supposed to fund in November.
50-50?
Yes.
Yeah. But we're using existing salaries as match, with the exception of the business manager. Right. That's going to be part of the match.
That's right.
The ED salaries, percentage of that, all of Bill's salary. or most of it?
Most of it.
Yeah. And then
Marketing headcount.
And then the marketing person.
We can adjust to match part of it.
So we still have, and Dave brought this up yesterday, we've got funds in here for the marketing person that's currently vacant. You know, that's about $6,000 a month. In total salaries, taxes, and fringes.
And you had started some process of outsourcing part of that. Is that still the plan, or are we going to try to hire someone?
Well, we have an interim plan that we still need to ratify. In the meantime, we've been contracting service with Denise.
So we're outsourcing right now.
Well, Michael, when he comes into this role, will he then start looking at, you know, the outsourcing and kind of making these decisions and then build in switches to the NFIL lab?
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it maybe slightly differently than you, Kevin. We got to make sure the wheels stay on the bus while we are getting a long-term strategy as well. I mean, I think I don't think one takes precedence on the other, because this is a real deal. And I know my point is, I believe Kramer is highly capable of doing both of those things.
All right. So the way we describe that back to Michael is that certainly in that ramp up period and in the first part of his full time role, his objective needs to be working with you, Bill, and with this new business manager to put in place whatever operational initiative need to occur in order for him not to be in the weeds, keeping the wheels on the bus, but to oversee the fact that the wheels are turning on the bus. I mean, we can't let that go. I don't think anybody's suggesting that gets let go, but we need to get him to the point where he's able to fly at that higher level. He doesn't need to be the glorified business manager.
And I don't think anyone's suggesting that. I think it's just to understand that he can't just not, you know, just throw up his hand and say, "Oh, sorry, that's your job." And I know that's not his way. I'm just saying that you can't divorce yourself completely from keeping the wheels on the bus.
Yes, oversee.
How do you use those people to help get it done? We have a lot
that's going to be done. Move us along a bit, maybe ask us to go through the business manager and what the status is. Because hey, these things are coupled to me. If we get a real strong business manager,
and
feel a little better about. We don't then.
So we, yeah. I mean, Dave, you want to?
Talk about that position. We advertised it. As you know, we went through the first process, interviewed two candidates. Thought we had four that looked pretty good. Two didn't show up. One showed up, I guess, but never submitted a application. We at this point in time, I put out some feelers in the community and said, who do you know that might fit this job description? And we got one hit, really good hit, that came from FSU. We interviewed that individual, Thursday? Mm-hmm. Thursday. All three of us were very impressed. I did a little behind the scene inquiry of some people who knew her at FSU. They said she had been very, very involved with the budget, with HR issues. She took on additional responsibilities for opening nights, for working with trustees, for communications, for student affairs. All those things were just sort of things that she added to her responsibility. They said she was very pleasant, very capable, easy to work with, a team player, and was quick to volunteer when somebody in the organization said, "I'm behind on this thing, I need help," and she would step in and help. I ended up asking that individual also, if you had a vacant position, would you hire this individual to step in and fill that slot? She said, absolutely yes. So we talked to the individual, and fortunately, she just had a raise at FSU. she wants to be paid the same amount that she is being paid at FSU.
At least.
At least, yeah.
She asked for
90. We kind of countered and said, well, we're looking to pay the top at 75. Would you consider 80? And her answer was really, I'm making 86.5, I think it is, and that's what I need. So we have 86.5. We sort of said, golly, if we're going to make this thing right, we've got to get a person who really can do the job and can stand out and can step in and can run fast.
And she can start November 1.
I'm sorry?
And she can start November 1.
Yeah. She has a master's degree. I wish she could start earlier. I have sort of suggested that we might ask if FSU knowing they're going to lose her, would release her earlier than that, but we don't know.
She indicated that she might be able to come in part-time for a while.
Okay.
She
has a master's in accounting. Or what?
She's got an MBA.
She tells us that she's the first to get to work and the last to leave each day. All of these are things that impressed us in the interview. This is, I think, her position up here now, or her sort of resume.
She's an online mentor for the FSU College of Business. She does some for the Jim Rand College of Entrepreneurship, all evening, weekend stuff. And she is from Ethiopia.
And in addition to the character that Dave described, Ron asked very specific questions about skill sets and form filing, and she has experience with 990s related to the nonprofit side. And
so she volunteered for a nonprofit and was their treasurer and did some of that.
So Ron got into the weeds a little bit in terms of the very specific reports that we're responsible for, and her answers seemed right on point.
She volunteered for JA?
I had thought that she was Asian American because she was involved with this particular story, but she is not Asian American. So
Ethiopian.
Yeah. She has a little bit of a communication disadvantage, I think, in that you got to listen hard to what she's saying. She got still a little bit of communications issues, I think, but that's easily overcome.
Yeah, she's been with FSU for 21 years.
Yeah.
She's looking for...
She doesn't jump around.
She's looking for a new challenge. She would like to change the title of the position to Director of Finance Administration. She's currently a business manager. She wants
a different title.
Which is fine. I think it makes sense.
I don't have a problem with that either.
There was nothing magical about business manager.
Yeah, this puts a further hit on what we had already said was a big hit at 75. So at 86.5, we're talking a big number. But she certainly meets all of the qualifications the three of us felt that she needed to have.
And the real challenge is when we advertised in the 60 to 75 range, we didn't get a lot of quality applicants. And some of them were a stretch, even the couple of them that we talked to. The one that we really, really liked was six figures. Even though he had indicated that he was willing to work for something in that range, but he's the one who didn't follow up with an application after he did. So I think it's necessary, and I think this person can help a lot. She's going to need some time, like anybody else, to get up to speed. She's not a CPA. You're not going to get a CPA for that amount of money.
Do we need a motion to approve that?
So, hold that thought. You had made a comment a few weeks ago about some of the accounting. You had taken it out of Talcor's out of their purview, but it needs to go back. Now you're mentioning this candidate and that she's not a CPA. Do we need a CPA?
No.
I agree, but I want to hear
the reason I say that is because not for the accounting stuff. The CPA is more than the accounting stuff. The CPA understands financial modeling. the kinds of stuff, you know, putting performance together, putting
internal control
stuff that Top Four doesn't do. So when, you know, doing this budget, doing, you know, understanding changes that happened in state regulations and, you know, business law, there's a lot of stuff a CPA does that's not accounting.
So, okay, that's helpful. First 20 years of my career, Bill remembers this. I've done more pro formas than I know how to count. And I appreciate the mindset of a CPA. I'm very comfortable that that's not the necessarily the discipline.
That I'm not saying that a CPA is the only one who can do that. I'm just saying a CPA tends to have a deeper and broader set of skills than a business major. Now, MBA helps, certainly, because they do get into a lot of that and gives them some breadth. But,
yeah, MBA shows to me she had a commitment to make something happen with her life, and mm-hmm. she stepped forward and done that. I think Tom wants to make a motion, so I'll make a recommendation that this person be employed, and then I'll let you make the motion to pursue that.
I want to make that motion at 86, whatever, five or whatever.
$86,520.
Whatever right. it takes to get her and get her here quickly.
The motion's been made.
Second.
It's been properly seconded. Any discussion? Is anyone opposed? That stands unanimous. Excellent.
I think she's going to be great.
Again, I have to make the formal offer. We'll see if she accepts.
Okay.
My next question is, I think we are the authority to make that hiring decision without it going to the board. Is that correct?
That's correct. It is the salary was the issue, and because it wasn't in the budget.
Does that have to go before the board?
The whole budget will, but
the whole budget.
You're allowing me to amend the budget now and go ahead and make the offer. But
I concur with this. I just want to make sure we're not jumping ahead of where we need to be.
Do we need to give the executive director the leeway for maybe a couple $1,000 on salary or not? Do you think that's going to be required or not?
It wouldn't hurt. Unless, of course, she's listening to this.
Yeah, I can't hear anything about that either.
Yeah. I would say no.
Okay.
And if we have to deal with it, we have another meeting next week.
Yes, we do have another meeting. I think that if the plan has changed, I think that this group needs to know about it before we sign off on it. Okay.
So, and while we're on that, can we go ahead and talk real quick about item number 10 as it relates to hiring that position?
Yes.
And we have a pre-employment drug testing policy. Our drug testing policy requires a pre-employment drug test. I'm asking for the executive committee to approve waiving that for this hire, as well as for if in fact we do hire Mr. Kramer. When it was last year, Leon County changed its policy to eliminate pre-employment drug testing on anyone except drivers and other special risk categories. It is a trend to get away from that. It is, some people all had to do that, but Bill and I enjoyed the moment of going downtown to the same facility for Leon County where they take offenders
off the Apple Yard.
People on parole. You got to sit in parole and probation. You got to sit in there with those folks and do this test. It is not, in this day and age, I don't think it's needed. The policy, the next thing I would recommend is that we amend our policy to more closely mirror Leon County's, which requires, I think there's an opportunity for random drug testing and or upon suspicion, so or after an accident, or there's a number of ways to deal with that. But I do think we ought to at least initially waive this for these two hires.
I thought that was kind of an interesting thing to add to the agenda. I wasn't sure exactly what was driving that. I don't know what FSU's policy is. Kim, do you know what TCC's policy is?
So we do not have a joint testing as a requirement.
For pre-employment.
For pre-employment.
FSU doesn't.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if Leon County's changed their policy and TCC and FSU don't have a drug pre-employment drug testing policy, I'm fine following what they're saying are best practices. I agree that if there's a suspicion that we need the ability to implement, but I don't have a problem. It's certainly given the fact that this particular candidate's been employed for 21 years at FSU, seems like a solid.
So I'm not asking you to approve the change in the policy, but because we can amend the policy and just present that to the board for its approval separately with an actual written document. But in the meantime, I just wanted the opportunity to waive it, have the executive committee waive it for these two.
So moved. Hires.
All right, it's been moved.
Second.
It's been properly seconded. Any further discussion? Is anyone opposed? That also passes unanimously.
And that'll collapse time too, because okay. Sometimes that'll take 2 weeks.
All right. So what?
And I think our request of the candidate should be that she become employed as quickly as she can be released from FSU. That's sooner than her 4 weeks. Yeah.
She actually asked about that because she, knowing that I was leaving, and then when I told her that, you know, I'm going to continue part time, she felt a lot better about it. But if there's a way to get her in earlier, we can try that.
All right.
But it would probably be part time.
I'll make this easy to you since we've kind of blended these two. I'd like to make a motion to go ahead and procure Kramer under the circumstances that you've got outlined and that we've discussed.
As amended based on Ron's recommendation that it just be a base of 160 with the standard employment package, correct? All right, it's been moved.
And that we clarify the roles and responsibilities for the position.
And the two of y'all are going to create some document for us that summarizes three primary positions.
We've got him starting November 1. Ron's leaving October 15. Is there any way to start him October 15?
We can certainly make that request.
Because that raises another issue, which is this temporary period, this 2 months, is that as the interim ED or is that in a consulting role? Do you want to make Bill the interim ED for those 2 months? And let him consult as he's getting up to speed? Do you need somebody here full-time making decisions, signing off on things? Or do you think this limited role would be enough?
I think the path forward is pretty clear in terms of what has to get done in the next 2 months. And as he comes up to speed, I mean, it'll be...
That's what I'm saying, though. Do we need to make you interim ED until he's full-time?
Well, you will no longer be ED as of the 14th, and we will need, unless Kevin's going to sign off on things, we'll have a $3 million reimbursement, and hopefully that gets filed in advance of that. So we'll need somebody to sign.
So do we want to ask him if he'll start on 10/15?
That'd be my recommendation. And you probably not go like this, but I think somewhere in there we had a proposal and we maybe even approved it that we would add additional compensation to $2,000 a month to the bill as an interim. I don't think we need to pay that money. I don't think we have that money.
No,
I apologize to you because we're taking something out of what you had been maybe expecting, but
I think we ought to expect
draw all that if that's part of what we've already approved.
He's not, it was. The motion was if he's appointed interim ED. If he's not, then it doesn't apply.
Then the title to him would be interim. Exactly. Michael.
Mike would be interim ED. Yeah.
Okay.
as a 1099, which is fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Can be whatever. So interim from 1015 through the end of the year. And as 1099 and then rolls to W-2 at 160 with the standard LCRDA employment package.
Okay. And it's his request that he be part-time during that 2 month period. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And we can't move him forward any quicker.
Well, we're now going to ask him to start 2 weeks sooner. And I think part of that is his shedding of other responsibilities.
That's what I assume. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're not thinking he's available more than half time between now and year end.
That is what he's represented to me.
Okay.
All right, so Tom, your motion was
just what you said,
what we just described.
Second.
All right, it's been properly seconded. Is there any further discussion? Anyone opposed? That also carries unanimous. All right, so I will, on the heels of this, I will reach out to Michael and what do we need to do then? The full board meets
Thursday.
Does this then go to the full board for ratification?
Yes. And if he agrees, then will there also be an employment agreement?
That'll just be similar to what you had modified.
All right, can you bring that?
Do we need a formal agreement or do we just need an expectation?
If you wanted to start 10:15, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you wanted to start 10:15, you want to get that agreement before the board next week?
Yes. So can you bring to the exec meeting next week the detail of the summary detail of the three positions and a draft of the employment agreement?
Yeah.
And then we'll approve that at exec and then we'll ratify it at.
Yeah, I think we'll want to work through the draft before then, if he agrees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, present him with the draft, make sure Melissa agrees with it. If it's the same one basically that I have, to, you know, with some modification, then shouldn't be hard for her to approve.
Well, and I also think that we, if assuming he's good with this as the layout, then I think we go ahead and engage him immediately as we're defining roles and responsibilities. It just,
yeah,
let's not mismanage expectations.
Yep.
So how does this all affect our headhunter agreement? And can we slow that down, stop it? What do we need to do there?
I will call Katie Dean at Opus today and let her know. I mean, let me talk to Michael and make sure that I feel like we're on solid footing there. I'll reach out to Katie and share the what and the why. And then tell her based on that with us approaching a holiday season, with us being able to put in place an interim executive director and with us starting a conversation of examining the structure of LCRDA. This group believes that a pause in that search is appropriate. We've already paid the first increment. And so they're not out anything. And I would assume that they can be pencils down without a problem. However, that's my assumption. So let me talk to her.
They have received their first payment. So that might
they have not received.
They have,
yeah. So far they've been compensated for very little work.
Yes.
One third.
And you know what they've done is they've helped create the marketing document for the position description. I would assume that they're in a pretty good place to just put this on hold for a bit.
Do you need a motion that we formally ask them to put that on hold, or can we just?
I will accept that motion.
It's so moved.
Second.
And properly seconded. Further discussion? Anyone opposed? I will have that conversation.
After we talk to Michael.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything is in the
way. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do feel, I even though there are some very substantial decisions that are in place right now, I have confidence in where we are and the plan that's in front of us. Super encouraged by this person and what I see in her resume. Bill, I'm very pleased that we're going to be able to bring you the support that you need that will allow you to remain focused and not spread your attention in other directions. I think that as Tom has described, Michael's the kind of guy, he's not going to let things drop. I just want to make sure that we bring this other support person in. It gives him all the running room that he needs to help us implement the strategy and focus the structure. I'm very pleased with these. I know the parts are in movement, in motion, but I'm very pleased with it. All right, where are we at on our agenda? We've done.
So eight was interim staffing plan decision. I think we've kind of answered that question. Okay. But
yep.
Yeah.
I think we have to.
But just a quick, Bill, you want to clarify?
Yeah, we part of what was on the table was to reclass the position that we have open and change the nature of that position to a senior administrative assistant with and marketing coordinator rather than a marketing and outreach manager, with the idea that we are and will be working with contract resources, because it's very difficult to find somebody that can do and execute all of the things that need to be done. And some of those things on an outsourced basis need our one and done, whether it's a brochure, whether it's standing up a website, whatever the case may be. So that's part.
That's just using the existing budget.
Using the existing budget. And I don't know if that requires.
It's just a change in duties. It's, I don't think the board needs to approve that. It's just, you know, it's the job description. It's just a deviation of that.
Okay.
Was there anything else on that staffing plan?
I don't think so. I think that the big wild card would be the thought and my belief that if we're going to take a run at the state of Florida, engaging some level of government relations through this legislative session. And then the other pieces and parts are generally currently funded through the budget.
A lot's going to just depend on, you know, what all this business manager can do. You know, and they're so, I'm not real clear about how much IT skills she has. So there may be some of that might have to be outsourced. We're going to talk to somebody this afternoon about that.
Yeah.
Just, you know, somebody to deal with setting up a new computer or fixing a problem, the network or whatever. So
you're going to talk to Addie today?
Yes. She's my first call.
We do have one piece of new business, just to remind us.
Yeah. But anyway, so really there's nothing else in that interim staffing plan. That was going to be a different conversation depending on what happened with the other items. The revised budget, I've been through that with you. I will have to make some changes to reflect what's going on potentially with Michael. So what I would ask is approval to make the changes and present it to the board based on everything that we know so far that the committee has approved and present a revised budget to the board next week.
Because this will go out before our next executive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's.
Yeah, it's required to be posted a week in advance. Mm-hmm. Required by state law.
Okay.
You need an action. Move approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, it's been properly moved and seconded. Any discussion?
What is the motion?
to adjust the budget.
To adjust the budget.
I'm
I concur.
All right, and there was no objection to that, correct? All right, that also ends. Very good. All right, so the last item that I think we need to talk about is the lease.
Yep. Well, he's getting it out. Basically, what we kind of thought through is to offer to FSU and BAMU, and if GCC wants to jump in the mix too, that would be wonderful. More wonderful to lease the space at starting at $13 a foot. I'd even set a lower rate, but $13 a foot. And the offer is the remaining space in Morgan or the remaining space in Johnson. They got to take down all of the space at 13,000 in Morgan at that 13,000 with a $1 increase. And Ray had said an 8% CPI adjustment. The $1 is 7.50, I think, percent increase. So it's about the same as an 8% CPI right now. But I think the enticement is starting out at $13 a foot to get the remaining space in either of those two buildings and offer it to FAM and FSU, put some sort of timeline on it that we're offering, because we still need to keep trying to lease them if FSU and FAM are not interested.
That's considering full lease of all space?
Well, no, because there's some space in Collins that Ron thinks we need to save for the lab.
Yeah, Bill's already working on some deals for space at the in this newly renovated area down here in this building. Some may actually be working with FAMU that's got some grant dollars behind it. There's some other options. And we really want to focus on developing companies that can go into that building. They work hand in hand.
So, Ron or Bill, have either of you had conversation with Eric about research interest, FSU's research?
No. I guess I had assumed that the FSU folks would work it through their channels. Like yourself.
Well, I thought that was what you were with.
Well, the reason I'm asking the question is that with Dr. Patterson, her tenure at FSU begins October 1. The 2 hours that she and I spent together, we covered a lot of ground, but we were a mile wide and a few inches deep. And as I think I mentioned to this board, asking at that time for her to respond to leasing additional space, I mean, there's such we've got a lot of ground to cover before we get to the conversation of, hey, are you interested in leasing more space? She doesn't yet have a depth of understanding of what it is that is the research platform on a physical level.
So we can't, I mean, basically we're working from the same angle. Eric is not going to be any more help then, because.
Well, I think we need to figure out who at FSU might consider something like this, and certainly Eric would be a part of it. And we need to go as deep and as wide as we can with folks that have needs. I mean, y'all know so much more about how the university works than I do, including the new person. We need to do the same thing at FAM. We need to try to get, you know, that we've got one-time offer that before we start trying to market this to other folks. And then second part of this is if they don't bite, we got to hurry and get this stuff leased up. And
Ron and I have been both aggressive with Ryder, which is right across the hall. They love the space. They wrote us into the NTC grant. We've had a very good relationship with them. They'd love to be there. I don't know which levers to, or whether that's a winnable fight given the funding of their organization. But other than that, have not done outreach to FSU.
Yeah, I mean, I have no more contacts over there. I used to know the director of facilities, but I don't have that contact anymore.
I've had a one-on-one 40-minute telephone conversation with the new vice president a month or so ago, just introducing myself to her as a community person, not as a board member. I think it'd be just great if we could get her just a 30-minute presentation of who we are and what spaces we have available. Not that we're asking her to make decisions now, but just so that she knows what is out here and capable of putting that into her thought process and plans. I'd have no problem with inviting her over here for a coffee and a this is who we are presentation.
Would it be appropriate to reach out to the president?
The president is
or Kyle Clark.
Let me work on a few different conversations. Message received. Let me see what angles and people I can have conversations with, and I'll report back.
Do you want this?
Please.
Minus some of the extraneous information.
And we were participating in the NSF engine application that FSU just submitted, I guess, yesterday. So the Mag Lab, I don't know if they have space needs. I think there might, given the stratification of FSU as an organization, there may be other angles. And so whatever you discover, happy to
ask. We've got flyers for each of these buildings that shows kind of a floor plan of the vacant space.
So one of the things that we need to pay attention to is that we have some restrictions inside of Innovation Park as to the type of use. I mean, we can't just
The big thing is classroom. You know, that's the big no-no. After that, it's hard to
Almost everything else can be justified.
If there's any kind of research component or, you know, grad students that are working in it doing research, you know, it's not, as long as it's not classrooms or, you know, administrative offices that don't have anything to do with research.
I did have one question, and I apologize for not knowing or if it's out of order. Are there restrictions on us, since we're not taxed, at offering space below market rate? So I know that...
Well, we've done that historically for a long time.
Yeah, the other part of that is
we've had 20,000 square feet available since I started with this
place. Yeah, I don't just know if we're under market or not. In the nonprofit realm...
I think that there's an argument that we need to understand about what is market rate, and the extent that we've never been able to be over 70% lease or whatever the number is, we probably haven't found what that equilibrium point is.
We're not
yet.
Too low.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just want
to. Yeah, I understand. I understand what.
It's
what,
a good point.
Yeah, basically, what you're saying is, you know, if we go too low. Are we taking business away from the private sector? I think is,
or do we raise a red flag?
There is nothing that I'm aware of in statute, in special district issues. Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, just to clarify something, the 1 year going from 13 to 14 is the 7.5. Obviously, it goes down a little bit because the denominator gets bigger.
Yeah.
But if at the end of 5 years, getting to 17, I think it was 6.6% or 6.5%.
Well, 5 years, 17 might be lower than the market.
Very well could be. And, yeah. And FSU wins real big, and I'm real glad for them.
That's still $1.8 million more than what we have today.
Now, we presented this. I want to make sure we have an action to move on it. And who's charged with making this thing?
Well, I just said I was going to start having some conversations around FSU. But that my focus is FSU focus.
Kim, is there anyone at FAMU?
The point person at this point is not, of course, Keith is gone, but we have to go back to Shante because that's the president's designee.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, I can reach out to him, but she would probably be better off as far as.
All right, so.
I'll text her.
And I want to make sure that since we're in an open meeting, I want to make sure that we're having the conversation here. It's Bill and I had a conversation yesterday, and I think it is important. And Bill brought some wise counsel. Where we are on the calendar, and given the fact that this week is incredibly disruptive because of everybody's preparation for whether or not there might be a storm that hits Tallahassee, and how long it is until the next board meeting, it probably does make a lot of sense that we withhold sending communications to the both of the presidents until after we get to the full board meeting. So my chief concern in this process is that the presidents of the unit of both FAMU and FSU don't hear about this conversation from a side or a back channel. I don't want them to feel like they're being left out of a conversation. I want them to understand that it is our desire to include them first. So Shante is probably the right person to have this information and make sure that she's able to appropriately brief the president, but she won't hear about this conversation live until that time. You now know what my concern and my desire is. Anybody that can help facilitate this so that it is not perceived by either president as we're doing something in a vacuum and without a desire to include them first, please help.
Great. I just text.
Yeah, I don't think their attention is focused on that. The fact that our board hasn't even discussed it yet.
I understand that.
It's right now it's just an idea.
It is. And because it has some fairly broadly scoped impacts, I want to make sure that they appreciate that it is our desire to include them first.
Understood.
And make sure that's not saying to them, this is the direction we want to go. This is just an open discussion of maybe this was the right decision, the right direction.
And the letter
that I don't think we're focused on, this is where we have to go.
Correct. The letter as it's drafted says that we've started to ask the question of whether or not the authority model remains the most appropriate structure. So that by the nature of that, it's a consideration.
Yeah. Okay.
And the fact that we're now under sunshine, this is an email I got from Ray Bond on the matter. He read the information about that discussion, and his main point is that he wants to make sure that when we start talking about this this restructuring, is that we have plenty of time to do it and not at the end of a board meeting, and that perhaps setting aside a special meeting just to handle that conversation. He asked me to convey that.
I think that's very appropriate.
Yeah, I didn't think, and I told him I thought that was probably what the plan was, that this is not something that's going to be done.
Yeah.
Right now, I mean, I don't know what we don't know.
Good. Any other questions, comments, concerns?
Just a thought is that as we get deeper into all this, is board meetings every 2 months timely enough? do we need to maybe consider some sort of period of time meeting monthly?
Well, that may be necessary as we start to dig into what this looks like under the interim director's role. So let's keep it on the radar for consideration.
Yeah, I'm not proposing it. I'm just asking the question.
Yeah, I, even though I won't be a participant, I would just remind everyone that every meeting takes a lot of time to get ready for. And the executive committee can serve that role in between meetings, which is kind of what they're there for. And just trying to get, we did that. We used to do that. If you recall, we had monthly meetings. It is a lot of work, and there's just not enough time. Yeah, I know for you all, it seems like a long time, but for staff, that's what you're doing between meetings is you're trying to get everything done.
Yeah.
That's been assigned. So just something to keep in mind.
But and to that point, though, the nature of bringing somebody like Kramer in is to step through this process. And so just by the nature of having him, we may need to accelerate the meeting schedule because what the very specific thing we're asking him to do. We'll figure that out.
Yeah.
It's a good point. Motion to adjourn.